All right. Well, welcome to the Crossing the Crescent discussion group, everybody. Hi, it is another Sunday afternoon here in sleepy Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It is 2 o'clock. We are here every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we usually run for about 2 hours, and then we're also here on Tuesday afternoons. If you are not aware of this, we run for about an hour and a half there, but we start at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Welcome to the show. We have the panel is pretty full already for a Sunday. I guess there aren't any good football games on, which is okay. Nobody needs to be watching that when they're taking a knee. I stopped watching football when they started taking a knee for the national anthem. I used to enjoy it, but not so much anymore. If you make $1 million a year, and you're taking a knee because of all the injustices done to you, if you want to give me that type of injustice, I'm kidding. It's a bad joke. I understand what the reason for it behind it was. But anyway, all right. Today we're going to – I knew that would get a response out of you. I knew there was something that was going to be said, just had to be said. Go ahead, Red.
The shakedown or whatever, I guess, when they go out, from the draft pick from the NFL, he compared that to slavery. So competing for multi-million dollar contracts is equivalent to slavery. That actually makes slavery look pretty good.
Well, that's the point. That's the problem with that type of that's the problem with that type of rhetoric. When you start saying, well, this is racist, that is racist, and then real soon everything is racist, and that detracts from the true meaning of that and the true meaning and the true impact of racism and bigotry. And when you label everything as such, then it just denigrates the term. And so I just kind of I don't even play those games with those guys anymore. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
White supremacists, because they elected a black lieutenant governor, have rejected, okay, the Democrat, the white Democrat, who was accused of all kinds of sexual assault, even though the Democrats also, their current governor, dressed up either as a Supreme Court member or were blackface. We're not sure which one. But either way, because the Republicans elected a black lieutenant governor, there are actually white supremacists. So, the world is insane.
Well, I like the idea that you finally had Biden carried the state by 16 points last year, and this other guy, whatever his faint name is, beat McCaulfey by what?
Lumpkin.
8.
I like Trumpkin. I'm okay with Trumpkin.
Lumpkin. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, well, the bottom line is you've had a huge shift there. I mean, that's a 20-point swing. I mean, you think about it, that's a 20-point swing in a year. So, well, that's what I'm saying. What you're doing is you're taking a term that is I mean, because when you think about racism and you think about bigotry in our country, and then you make every, I mean, and how, what a terrible stain that's left on our country, and how degrading that is to people, and how serious it is, and serious is a charge on people too. If you say somebody's a racist, you know, that's, I mean, that's something that ruins careers. But when you turn around like Kaepernick has done, and you've changed the tone of the discussion to where everything is racist, everything is bigotry, everything is white supremacy or whatever. I mean, it dilutes something that is indeed something that is important to understand. But when you start doing it to everybody, it's like calling everybody a Nazi. You don't agree with me, you're a Nazi. Okay. It's like saying that Islamo-fascism, you know, that term, you know, you say all Muslims are fascist and that they, you know, all Muslims want to dominate. No, that's not true. So what you do is you marginalize the terms, or not marginalize, not the words. You take away the impact and the depth and the meaning of the term and dilute it into something that is, you know, actually meaningless. Boy, that's a great way to talk, you know, start off on a topic on the show, which is today's war on women. Who was just talking? Who was that? I didn't catch it. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Isa.
Let's not take the term and basically denigrate the terms like sexual assault. Sexual assault is not just or not the same thing. When someone rapes someone, a catcall. And when you make those equivalent, you take away from what, you know, that word is. You know, you take away from that really intense sexual assault. And it's the same thing with slavery. If we're talking about exploitation and people being exploited, rich people exploiting people who are poor, and maybe giving them money but working them into the ground, and then saying that's the equivalent of chattel slavery, well, then you take away from what chattel slavery is. And I think that that's an important – we do need to make those distinctions. And you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't want to do all that. But I think it is important that we don't hyper kind of trivialize things. I think that's the point that you're making too. You're not
hyper-trivialized. Right. Yeah, there's another – you're right. There's another end of the spectrum, too, where you're just like, well, he's making this claim of racist, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just trying to – what do we call that? Hyperbole or hyperbole, whatever the term is used to do that. And so there's – there you go. So it's – so which – yeah. So there's dangers on both ends of it. Yeah. And Darcy says it right. This is Darcy classified it the right way. Darcy's got always got going on football, schmootball. You know, who really cares? Except for people who go to pay $100 for a ticket. Okay, so how did we get off on that? Because the host decided to get off topic, and that is not a good thing. And I apologize for that. I see we got some people with some really like this here. This is a really cool. I don't know if that's a YouTube channel, Spiritual Addiction Ministry, or what that is. I like that name. It's pretty neat. Okay, so let's...
Yeah, it is a channel. Anytime you go and you chat, it's because you have a channel that name.
Okay.
You can't make up a name when you go and chat. Like, we can make up our names. Like, I always change my name according to the topic. But when you go in live chat... That is your channel. You can tap on it, or you have to spell it out.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's their channel.
Well, they got a cool name for their channel. Why didn't
they
Why didn't I think of that?
And it's a working channel. I think they've got a couple videos up. But anyway.
All right. Well, cool. I just asked the question, why didn't I think of that? Well, it's because you had to have an original font to think of something like that. And we know that we're not all full of that here. All right, George, let's get to the topic. George, we're going to be talking about Islam's war on women. This is part two because we didn't finish this on part one, which was last week. And when we I knew as we were kind of trudging along there towards the end, you go, well, we got to go in order to get this done. I'm like, dude. It ain't happening. And if we don't get done here, that's okay. I will say that we have to be out of here no later than 3:30. I thought I was going to have to cut out at 3, but we got push things back a little bit, not for the show, but there was other things that were in motion there. So we do have some time to finish up your slideshow. So if you want to go ahead and start sharing your screen, George, and tell us where, just give us a, as a matter of fact, go ahead and take, give us a little refresher on what we talked about last week.
Absolutely.
And where we are going to be this week. So I don't see your screen. There it is. Okay, there we go. Yep. All right, go ahead and make it full screen and take that where it says stop sharing, take push hide. There you go, and then full screen. Go off the banner. There we go. All right, so we're all good. Go ahead. No, the mic's yours. Go ahead.
Certain things going on in some of, in a lot of African countries where women's rights to education is limited, their right to pursue a career of their choice is limited. The research in Saudi Arabia would not allow women to drive, and women can't leave the home without a male guardian, and marriage of underage girls is permitted. So we have to investigate. Is this just cultural, as some people would have us believe, or is it based on the teachings of Muhammad and Islam? So we started to look into their sacred books, their Quran and Hadith. And we saw where the Quran specifically says that at Quran 434, Surah 434, that a man is able to beat a wife if he fears rebellion from her. So she doesn't have to attack him. She doesn't have to say anything rude to him. He just needs to fear that she will be rebellious. And then he has the right, according to Allah, to be rude. Now, a couple of key points here. There is nowhere here that says beat her lightly, as some have interpreted it to say. There's nothing here that says that you beat her with a straw or with a pen. Nothing here. It says beat her. Simple. And they've interpreted it just that way. You have the right to physically abuse a wife if you simply fear that she will rebel against you. That's clear. And we see it in Hadith that we just don't have the time to go into, where Muhammad himself physically assaulted Aisha. She went out looking for him. He had left the house one night and she was following him. And he noticed that she was following him. And he physically struck her in her chest and she said he struck her. And she fell pain. So this is the perfect man. This is the perfect man that is the last prophet of Allah. And he, that's his example, that you can physically abuse your wife. We also spoke about the issue of four wives. And what does this say about women? To my mind, this is making women, objectifying women. You know, there's no idea of having an intimate relationship with one person, one woman. No, this is all a contract between the husband and these women. And to my mind also, this is a perfect why they must not be allowed to have independent careers and means for themselves. But if they do, then they're free not to be tied up in a relationship like this. Once they are dependent on a man, they have to do whatever he says, because guess what? They have no independent means of supporting themselves.
And we did talk about that, George, saying that it is the responsibility of the woman to, I'm trying to get there, it is obligatory for a wife to obey her husband as is customary in allowing him full lawful sexual enjoyment of her person. That comes directly from this book right here. Let me get it up on the screen. This is there. It's on page 541. So it is obligatory for women to obey their husband when it comes to sex. Completely. Wanted to put up on the screen, Ask Truth. Remember, everyone, to beat that like button as if you fear its disobedience. That's not funny, but that is funny. Let me take that. Okay, I wanted to add one more thing to that, George, if you don't mind. I don't know if we brought this up last week, because there's a lot of things that not only do we find, of course, if it's in the Quran, of course, it's supposed to be divinely inspired admonitions for people. But when we look in here, this is the Sharia. I mean, when you think about, okay, where do they get the Islamic law? They get it from the Quran, the Hadith, the Sirah. They get it from places like this. Here's what it says on page 604 when it's discussing justice, and the issue of rules of warfare and slavery. This is division 09.13. Here's what it says. It says, when a child or a woman is taken captive, they become slaves by the fact of capture. And this is the point that I wanted to drive home here. The woman's previous marriage is immediately annulled. So just by the capture, you being captured, whatever marriage you had before is over, according to the Sharia. But hey, don't fear it. Have no fear of it. It's all righteous and just for everybody, after all. I'm sorry.
Okay, so let me continue. I take it just to see my...
Yes, we see it.
Perfect. Yes. So, slave as a weapon of war, and this is, of course, coming from Surah 4, verse 24, and Abu Dawood 21:50, also in Muslim, Sahih Muslim 34:33. The Apostle of Allah, may peace be upon him, sent a military expedition towards Attar on the occasion of the Battle of Hunayn. They met their enemy and fought them. They defeated them and took them captive. Some of the companions of the Apostle of Allah, may peace be upon him, were reluctant, for they were reluctant to have intercourse with the female captive in the presence of their husbands, who were unbelievers. So Allah, the Exalted, sent down the Quranic verse, Surah 4, verse 24, all married women are forbidden unto you, those captives whom your right hand possess. So,
hold them back first when they had married women captive in front of their husband. And yes, you can have sex with them in front of their husband. Is this not pure evil? How can anyone justify this?
Well, if you're Allah, if this is a admonition from Allah saying that you can do this, why not? I mean, God, if God's commanding this. Then the God of Islam is pure evil and wicked then. Wouldn't that be a good syllogism, way to frame that argument? If you can, yeah, if you're going to say that what you're told to do by God in his last revelation to man, word for word, mind you, this isn't something that, you know, there's any ambiguity after all. This is clearly understood, right? Well, if it's clearly understood and it says that you can rape captive women that you capture on the battlefield because their marriages are now obviously annulled, that's evil. And so anybody that tells you that you're able to do that is evil also.
Here, this is Sahih Muslim 3271. We went out of the Arab upon him on the expedition to the Bil Mustali and took captive some excellent Arab women. We desired them for the suffering from the absence of our wives. In other words, they wanted to rape people. We also demanded ransom for them. So they wanted to rape women, but they wanted to sell them to make money off. So we decided to have six or three course with them. But by Azov, meaning withdrawal with male sexual organs before emission of semen to avoid conception. But we said, we are doing an act where Allah's messenger is amongst us. Why not ask it? Ask Allah's messenger to keep your mind. And he said, it does not matter. You can do it. You want to do it, do it. You don't want to do it, that's fine.
So what is that? So again, here comes another syllogism, George. So if the messenger, if this man who is supposed to be the messenger of God is saying that they can do that to the captive women, what does that make the messenger himself then? Because if he's using his guidance from his God, so what does that make him? Right. I mean, the guy is a monster, is what he is. But yet, to say that, you're an Islamophobe for pointing out what, you know, 90%, 99% of the world's population would agree is reprehensible behavior.
Okay. Let's continue. So, another thing interesting is that he said that the majority of the dwellers in hell are women. And we find that in Book 1, Volume 6, Hadith 301, Sahih Bukhari, and it says, narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, once Allah's apostle went out to the Musala to offer prayer. Then he passed by the woman and said, O woman, give alms, as I have seen that the majority of the dwellers of hellfire were you, woman. The women, they were just sitting there, not doing anything, and he saw that they were the majority dwellers of hell. This is clearly mind control. They asked, why is it so, O Allah the Apostle? He replied, you curse frequently and are ungrateful to your husband. I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence and religion than you.
Hey George, let me just an admin note. I just saw that you'd sent a message in Instant Messenger on Facebook about getting the YouTube link, and I just sent it to you. I didn't know if you were gonna if you wanted to send that out or not. That's up to you.
Woman asked, oh Allah's God, what is deficient in our intelligence and religion? He said, is it not evidence equal evidence of one man? This is just Arabian custom, not because we were doing and they said, yes, we said in the affirmative. He said, this is the deficiency in her intelligence. Isn't it true that a woman can leave a train or fast during her menses? So hold up. God cannot accept prayer or fasting when a woman is having children. The woman replied in the affirmative. He said, this is the deficiency in her religion. So women are deficient because they menstruate, and according to him, this is evidence of her deficiency in intelligence, and the fact that two women have to be equal, two men's witness has to be equal to the witness of one man. This is clear misogyny. This is clear disrespect and denigration of women. As we discussed last week, there's no evidence from any empirical study that women are less intelligent than men. In many cases, many women are far smarter than many men. Gender cannot be used as a
You're absolutely right. When if you look at this studies that are done on intelligence, men versus women, and it's pretty much a wash. To say that men are twice as smart, as evidently Muhammad is implying here, is that you need two women to equal the testimony of a man, which would be twice as many, I would reckon. That again is a denigration of the intelligence of women. And when we look at our own nation's history. This idea or ideal, I mean, it is a cultural thing. This is not a divine admonition to say that women are dumber than men. It doesn't say anything about that in the Bible. But what has been practiced throughout history is that women have been subservient to men. But to say that the reason why they're subservient is because they're not as intelligent is absolutely absurd based on what we know now. And it wasn't, when we start speaking about equality of women today, women didn't get the right to vote in our country anyway. I don't know about you up there in Canada, but they were not allowed to vote in our country until, I believe it was 1920. It was the 19th Amendment in 1920, or it was the 20th Amendment in 1919. I always get the two confused, but the bottom line is that women are...
Women's suffrage. Yeah.
Correct.
We protested. Mm-hmm.
You didn't protest, Connie. What are you saying?
Yeah,
we. What are you, we?
Women. We protested. I'm speaking for every woman.
Okay. All right. Yes, all right.
Don't fuss with me, man.
All right, what is Rad doing here? It looks like we're looking at Rad's roof in his, I don't know, he's probably out at some place getting something to eat. All right, I'm sorry, Jordan.
Amen.
Half of your labor force to start working and contributing to economic progress. So let's not miss that. And this is part of the reason why these economies are so moribund, because they have stifled women, they frustrate women, they kept half of their potential labor force unskilled, uneducated, and not fulfilling their potential. Let's not forget
this. A lot of it stemmed from necessity, too, during World War II, when we had so many people off fighting. And this is where things did change, here in the United States anyway, culturally. It's where you had so many women having out of necessity to enter the workforce to fill those positions that were normally done by men. So it was after World War II. I'm speaking here in the United States, because we didn't really – the United States – and of course, I'm showing my Yankee-ism here. The United States didn't get involved in World War until was 1917, the last year of the war, we decided, oh, well, let's get involved in this, you know, after, you know, millions of people have been mowed down in France, you know. So, yeah, but if it was for the United States, it was World War II. But you're absolutely right, George. Out of necessity, you had all of those women, especially in France. God, if you think of France, they just sent an entire generation of their best and brightest into those, you know, those killing fields where they just were just mowed down, making them charges across that open. It was just crazy what they did. And, you know, the country's never really rebounded from
like
that.
Normandy. Do you know that guy on Star Trek? He's the Scotty.
Yes.
Scotty was on Normandy, you know, where they came on shore, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got hit 6 times, and if you notice, they won't show, I think it's on his right hand, because one of his fingers got blown off.
No kidding.
On Star Trek, yeah. Anyway.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. Well, a lot of those actors during the 60s were direct products of World War II. Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yes, sir.
All right, George, are we moving on, Hill? Still, okay. Yeah, this is a sore point with me.
This is where Connie gets pissed.
Yeah, hey, hold on, just a second. Ed Van Halen, the reason why I haven't let you in, Ed, is because it says that your device is not connected. Maybe if you back out and then come back in, you'll be able to get into the chat. All right, go ahead, George.
Yeah, so Conan 5:34, the Holy Book. Remember, this is not written by men. These are the direct words of your timeless words. As for your woman who has the spirit of further ministry, if you are a adult, your period shall be 3 months, and those who have not yet menstruated and who have a child in turn is menstruated, yet bring forth the inverse. Whosoever fears God, God will appoint of his command even. But the point here, let him get read.
Why would they need that provision in there, George? Can you explain that to us? Why would you need, if you're talking about, you know, a religion that does not exploit prepubescent little girls sexually, why would the God of the universe feel it necessary to include some type of instructions that deal with them when it comes to marriage?
Muslim, Bukhara 69, 382, Aisha, Allah the Prophet of Marriage when I was 6 years old, and I was admitted to his house when I was 9 years old. Allah the Prophet said to me, have you gotten married, O Jabir? I replied, yes. He asked, what, a virgin or a matron? He said, not a virgin, but a matron. He said, why did you not marry a young girl, who would have
bundled
with you?
Oh, yeah. We watched that last week. We listened to a certain person who is in chat right now. I won't mention any names. Yammer on and on and on and on how Christians exploit that hadith, saying that that just shows the depravity of Muhammad. And, you know, we could take that hadith out and just burn it. And there would be plenty more in there that were already cited. If you go to the previous slide, if you could, George. Not that, the next one, right here. Women, no. You're going the wrong way. And again, no, again. There we go. Right there where you look at Sahih Muslim saying that she was 6 when she got married, 9 when she was consummated. You have Al-Nasi, you have Sunan Dawud, Abu Dawud, and you have Bukhari all say that she was 9. And so this thing about, you know, oh, you could have married a matron, who cares? Who cares about that? The bottom line is that this guy continued to exploit this girl, this little girl, until she was 18 years old. And this is what old And, you know, if you, when we start saying, is this a perversion? This is a perversion of human sexuality, and this is what perverts do. And if you want an example of what and it, of what evil is, this is it. And to somehow try to make this guy into an example for everybody to follow, to say that this guy is a model of conduct, is just absolutely absurd. And this is, and when you engage on this, and I was glad to see Abbas, you know, admitting that, hey, look, you know, this guy, you know, is that is a perversion. But Aisha wasn't that old. At least he tries to make the case that Aisha wasn't that old, which isn't true. At least he tries to go in that direction instead of trying to justify it like many of his Muslim brothers do.
Let me just chime in there for a real quick second, and I'm sorry to butt in. But I just want to point out some things here. Well, first of all, Muhammad's perversion did not just stop with what he did to Aisha until she was 18 years old. Think about this for a second, okay? It is in the Quran, okay, that it is forbidden to marry any of the wives of the Prophet.
Right, yeah.
This was handed down by Allah. He's 18 years old. So now he has just deprived her of any kind of, well, physical pleasure, companionship, however, you know what I mean?
Sure.
He made her at 18 years old a spinster lady, a cat lady, if you would. You know what I mean?
A what lady? Would you say a cat lady?
Yeah, a cat lady, 18 years old. You know, that's a joke. You know, yeah, she lives with her cat.
Oh, okay, okay. I was trying to get the connection there.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she lived into her 60s. So either she was getting it on the side, you know, because I'm sorry, that drive cannot be good. No, because it is the drive that drives them. Okay? You know what I mean? Or she was just totally frigid, you know? Which would indicate, anyway, don't want to get into the psychology of Muslims because you'll get really bizarre stuff. You'll come up with Hunter Biden in an instant. But no, seriously. I mean, think about how horrible that is.
Well, we're getting into
the age of 18 from physical companionship.
Well, we're going to be getting into a way that they do deprive them through mutilation. So we're fixing to get into that one.
All right, continue on.
Fixing, boy, I sound like I'm from Georgia or something. We're fixing to get into that one. That could very well be. Because Connie said several times, provided all kinds of different examples where these girls have been sexually assaulted at that age, and then in the process they've suffered internal injuries that have carried on throughout their entire life. They've had all kinds of problems throughout their entire life with them. Yeah.
And some have died because of it. Jeez, people.
And this idea that, she's now eligible to be married, that's just cool. Just because when a woman or a young girl starts menstruating, it doesn't mean that her birth canal is wide enough to pass a child out. She may be able to conceive, yes, but she is not her, she's her birth canal just cannot accommodate a baby. And there have been many, many cases of them dying in childbirth. And it's interesting that in those societies, the numbers of women who die in childbirth is always suspect. They never give you the true figure. It's happening a lot more than people.
Didn't Nabil Qureshi, who was a medical doctor, from what I understand, didn't he write something about how all of that, I mean, he wrote, I might be wrong, somebody wrote a technical paper about that. And you're absolutely right, George. Just because a girl has, you know, has been able to menstruate does not mean that their body has been developed bear children. I mean, there are all kinds of different mechanics involved in all of that. Besides the idea of ovulation, there's all kinds of other things that the body has, changes that the body has to go through.
It's called childbearing hips. Okay, the hips widen. Okay, usually at the age of 12 to 13 years of age. Okay, in a girl, and they continue to widen. Okay,
yes.
as the young woman develops. Okay. Now, again, remember, okay, yes, and that day, and I would say even it should be in this day, young men and young women, again, I say young men, young women, had children very early. They developed families very early, okay? But the thing is, the difference is they were young men and young women, okay? Just the fact, okay, that the biological fact of the childbearing hips widening, okay, to facilitate, okay, said child. Now, the Muslims will go to that there are examples where, you know, women still do not develop these childbearing hips or, you know, certain things like that. So they might focus on the exception. Or they will focus on the exception, okay? That I remember a case in Peltok where they were touting this, that Muhammad is true. There was some dude in Mexico who raped his 7-year-old niece, okay, and got her pregnant. That 7-year-old is not going to be able to carry a baby to term. And unfortunately or fortunately, it was aborted, okay? All right, and I'm against abortion, but I would say in this case, happens, that would have killed the child. You know what I mean? Killed another child. You know what I mean? But they were talking as that, see, 7-year-olds can get pregnant. So therefore, there was nothing wrong with what Allah did, what Muhammad did. I was like, are you freaking insane?
Yes,
you
know, yes, Brad, they are. They're
really late for once.
They're insane. They're spiritually blinded is what they are.
I'm just curious, like the men of the audience, do any men here find, like, children, like, attractive in that way? Like, it seems such a preposterous thing. Like, I just seem so, like, the most ludicrous thing that I've ever heard.
Well, this is...
Sick men only.
Exactly, John. And this is the how I was equating it the other day, or not the other day. I've said this several times. When I was 54, my granddaughter was 9, and I made the correlation. I'm thinking, okay, so let's say I'm Muhammad, then that means that I am attracted to a girl that age. So if I'm sitting there looking at going to watch her play softball or engage in school activities or things like that as a grown man, then I would unnaturally, if I was Muhammad, would have those urges towards those girls at that age. And I can promise you there is not 1 ounce of this kafir that had any type of urge of any kind that deals with that physical urge towards those girls. It is unnatural as the day is long. And it is a perversion of human sexuality. It is a perversion of the marriage covenant that has been foreordained by God. And thank you, George, because this, what he has done is he's turned around and he's taken what is a perfect covenant or a covenantal office, or what do they call it in the Catholic Church, a sacrament, and he's perverted it to the point where the only purpose behind it is the sexual gratification of one part of that covenantal relationship. And to try to say that this is an example to follow for all time, or it's, you know, it's just absolutely bizarro world to try to carry on a conversation with somebody that says that, well, you know, since Muhammad did it, it's okay. It is absolutely crazy.
And that's the perversion of the family, too. It's perverting the family all over again.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve they weren't children. She was a woman when they got married and had sex. That's the standard. You know, even the animal kingdom knows this. But Islam comes along and tells us something different. That is perversion of the family.
He tries to make, Muhammad does his best to try to make heaven like a brothel where you have wine, you can have wine served and you can have sex with as many virgins as you want. And that is supposed to be some sort of paradise for a man. But right. And that's the physical. I mean, what he completely misses, this is why the theology with Islam does not match any theology with Christianity or Judaism at all, because it's meant to satisfy the flesh or to entice the flesh to do something. And we all know that the flesh itself is selfish and sinful, and there is no satisfying your lusts, regardless of whether you're in heaven or not. I mean, if you have 72 virgins, do you think that is going to satisfy your lusts for an eternity? What happens when you're done with the use of those 72 virgins? Don't you think you're going to want 72 more? Do you think that you're going to get drunk enough on the wine that is provided in heaven? Don't you think you're going to want to get drunk again or be in a perpetual state of drunkenness? It's just stupid. It's what it is. And to try to make any excuse for it, or make any apologetic for it, it does not, when we think of Islamic theology and compare that to Christian theology and Jewish theology, there is no comparison.
No comparison at all.
Eric, wait, Eric, you silly capper. Wait, you silly capper. Don't you understand that the wine in Alice Paradise is not alcoholic?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's like drinking near beer, right,
it wouldn't
yeah.
It would be wine, would it? It would be grape juice.
Right.
Like your drink, Eric?
What's that? Say that again.
Do you have your drink? Like your drink that you're drinking.
Right, yeah, what's the point? It's, you know, it's that. Rad, I told you to stop the sponsorship from that. They keep dropping it off my door, and I don't want it to go to waste.
But you're proof that this is a healthy alternative.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Who knew that Muhammad was right about drinking camel urine?
Seriously. Wait, okay, so, George, did you get to the fact that these virgins are going to be see-through translucent, that you can actually see the mural of their bone? Yeah, that's sexy. Okay? I'm just saying, dude. No, it's not. Okay? Think about this, man. I mean, wow, we can see the mural of their bone. This sounds like he's describing, you know, this paradise to cannibals. You know what I mean? Yeah, you get that bone marrow, you know, from your virgins. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just bizarre. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So, again, to prove my point that women are just... So go into your field, whichever way you like. This is the word of Allah. This is the divine word of the God has written on golden tablets.
Yeah, I think we spoke about this on Tuesday. Yeah, I think we spoke about this on Tuesday, and why this verse was revealed, quote unquote, to Allah or by Allah to Muhammad, is because what was it? The women from Medina did not want to have sex the same way that the women from Mecca wanted, or maybe it was the captive women were saying that they didn't want to do it a certain way. Versus, and this
the Muslim women, the Ummah women were saying we don't want to do it that way. So
okay.
Allah sent this down.
To think that the God of the universe, would give ink to how to, you know, which position to perform. I mean, it's just, again, that tells you where this man's mind was and where his heart was. It was exactly, it was in the gutter. Just look at that verse.
Sex farm woman, baby.
It's what?
Sex farm worker, baby. Spinal tap.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I listened to that song. I felt icky after listening. Okay, I'm gonna mute you, man. That I felt dirty after listening to that thing. This is why. Go ahead, Brad.
No, that is everywhere. Anyway, no. Think about this for a second here, okay? Okay, ex-Muslims in the chat or, you know, whatever, or in the group, correct me if I'm wrong, but, okay, if a Muslim man touches a woman, kisses, whatever, and they don't have water to make wudu, they can actually use what's called clean dirt to clean themselves. So women, the field, are dirtier than dirt. Think about that for a second.
I don't want to.
Women are dirtier than dirt. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Rad, this is why. Okay.
Look at the song, play, jam it, crank it up.
this is why DL calls you the John Madden of Islamic polemics, is because you just put it like it is.
Muhammad is commanded to ask his family members and other Muslim women to wear outer garments when they go out so that they are not harassed. And of course, the Islamic commentators have generally agreed that this verse refers to sexual harassment of the women of Medina. It says, O Prophet, enjoin your wives, your daughters, and the wives of the true believers that they should cast their outer garments over their persons. That is most convenient, that they may be distinguished and not be harassed. So hold on. What about stopping the men from harassing the women?
Why would they be that begs the question, why would they be harassed in the first place?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like Allah's implying that he's got a bunch of nasty men around him.
Not the men's fault, it's the women's fault.
Well, of course, that's the point. But the other point is Allah's just admitting that, you know, his ummah is a bunch of nasty men. And, you know, in Saudi Arabia, they're covering their little girls, too. Like 3 years old, they're walking down the street, and they're fully covered, other than their face. 3 years old. 3 years old. But, you know, there it is.
Well, okay. Hold on. In all fairness, if I lived in a Muslim-majority country, even as a Christian, if I was an atheist, if I was anything, even as a Muslim, whatever, my daughters, my wife, whatever, my daughter, whatever age, would be fully covered to somehow protect them against from Muslims. Seriously, think about it. 3 years old, 50-year-old dude is looking for his future bride at that point. You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, no. You want to protect that, okay? When it comes to, living in an Islamic country, you've got to protect your women from Muslim men. Seriously, because, they like lust over an elbow, over an ankle. I mean, no, seriously, it's really bad.
It's absolutely disgusting when you consider what women have to wear because of something that's not their fault, what men are requiring them to wear because it's not their fault. Picture this: if you are a woman and you are living in, when I was in Iraq, it got up to 120, 125 degrees in the month of August, July, August, September, and there's women out in the fields harvesting wheat by hand, and it's 125 degrees, and they're fully covered. Think about that. It's disgusting what they require these. And here's another question: when we ask, okay, well, the reason why women cover their hair, the reason why they ask women to cover, is because of modesty. Well, who defines what is? Well,
that is grossness. Yeah.
Well, ask the question, what is and what is not modesty? By whose standards are you judging? Is there a clear standard established by the Quran? Well, if the Quran says that you must cover, does that mean everything? And if that means everything, well, why are some women only walking around with just a hijab on their head? Why aren't they wearing the niqab? Why aren't they wearing a full burqa?
Mm-hmm.
It's...
theology on this subject. Their scholars have said when the women don't cover, they will be mistaken for whores.
They'll be what? Say it again. They'll be
mistaken. They will be, if they're not covered, then people assume that they are whores. And what that has
when been, actually the men are the whores.
They're whoremongers is what they are.
Right. Allah is the whore. I mean, wow. I mean, then why did Allah make women, for them to just live in a tent,
exactly.
To be in the house and then to live in a tent if you're going to go out. I mean, that is humiliation. And no wonder the women are, the Muslim women are protesting all this stuff, you know, and they're killing them in Iran, you know, for protesting, like that lady said. They're killing them. They're murdering them.
So the implication of all of this is, if the woman ever steps out of line, she doesn't dress how they say she should dress, and she is raped or harassed, then it leads to what? The conclusion is, it's her fault. That's why in some of these countries, a woman one situation where I recall by this ex-senior Muslima who moved to the West, and she gave the example of a teacher of hers who ended up in a taxi in Saudi Arabia without her mahram.
The taxi driver took her out into the desert and raped her.
Not go to the police and say, look, I was raped. Where's your mahram? Oh, the fact that you were raped means that you're a whore. She had to leave Saudi Arabia and move to another country.
But you know, in England, in London, they're starting to do the same thing. They're getting gang raped and all this, and they're blaming it on the women. Blaming it on the women. You know, and London is just allowing it. I mean, if London doesn't straighten up, they're taking over. They're like a dead plant, and then the bugs have come. Blame it on the girls. And these girls, they don't know Islam. You know, they're just young. You know, 17, 18 years old, maybe some younger, 16. They don't know anything about Islam, and they're like, what? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just walking down the street here. Mm-hmm. We can't hear you, Eric, sir. We can't hear you, Eric.
I was saying you're absolutely right. It's just blaming the victim mentality and not taking any responsibility for your actions, and that seems to be part and parcel for this. All right, George, sorry. I'm trying to follow some of the comments made here in chat, and I'm not even bothered. Go ahead.
Sweet, huh? Precious. Great point. Wow. We need to do a part three. I mean, until we're finished with this, this is wonderful. Eric, I petition that in Jesus' name.
I'll take it under advisement. No, no. Okay, let's not get to this yet, George. I want to back up to this Islamic inheritance shtick. Isn't there something where you go in? I'm trying to look at a chart here where the math is a little fuzzy on this. Let me see. Prescribed shares of shares. Okay, let me see if I can get this up on the screen. Let me drag this over.
All this fuzzy math.
Yeah, where it just doesn't. Now, well, hold on. The Quran is perfect. Let's not prejudge here. Yeah. I'll go ahead and share. Let me see. Share my screen right here. Okay, so here we have. Let me make it bigger. Okay, there we go. Okay, here we go. Okay, so if you look at this math here on what you're supposed to be receiving, the math just does not work out. It comes to even though Muslims often claim credit for algebra, which, you know, I'll admit that I'm absolutely terrible at algebra, but fractions, it's just an Arabic word, but I get that. Okay. But the fact is that let's stay on topic here. The fact is that when you start doing the fractions, I know how to do fractions fairly well. I mean, I'm not a math guy, but I know how to do fractions fairly well. And when you start looking at the math and how it comes out, I think it comes out to where when somebody gives away when they die and then their inheritance and the people who are supposed to receive a fraction of
it.
Are
you still showing us that?
But I'm not sure how this chart here. Yeah, I'm not sure how this chart explains it. I'm not exactly sure how it's supposed to explain all this, and maybe that somebody can post a link in the chat providing me a better graphic. I don't know. She looks like she's taking the day off, I think is what she's doing. That's okay. But if somebody in chat can find me a chart that shows me how that's broken down, because let me see here. That's not it.
Do you know anything of that, George, that you can post it for us?
I have looked at it before and what Eric is saying is true.
Okay. I don't know. It was just kind of a subtopic that I shouldn't have brought up. I agree with that. Here's a pie chart. I don't know how that works out. How that all works out. What is that? 40. Let me get my calculator here. Maybe this one works. It works out with it. I don't know. But when I saw somebody do this one day, let's see. 21.67 plus 21.67 plus 10.83 plus 12.50. Yep, this is about inheritance. Hold on. Okay, 16.66 plus 16.66 equals, well, that comes out to 99.9%. So this one, I don't know how this. Again, I'll have to look at this. I let the cat out of the bag out on this one, and I went down this rabbit trail. So since I brought it up, I'm gonna need to prove it, baby. And I will. I'll go out and I'll find it, and I'll have a graphic. Hold on.
He's not good at women.
Hold on. XYZ has it here. Let's see. XY inherited. Okay. Hold on.
Click on that bad boy.
I did, and it's not coming up. Hold on. Let me see here. How do I do this? How do I get it out of the chat? Hold on. Let me come over here. Let me come over on this one. Sorry. There we go. Okay. Oh my goodness! This is too confusing. Look at this.
Change what you have to do.
No.
Yeah, zoom in there,
are you kidding me? Oh my gosh! This thing—it's too busy. It's too busy, and we got too many important things to discuss right now. So we'll come back to this.
Okay, we're at an hour and 10 minutes. Are we still good?
Yeah, we got about 20 minutes left, and I don't want to go over George. I want George to finish up his slideshow if he can.
Right. Okay. Let me get that.
All right, Pop, where'd we go? Where is your share your screen, George? There we go. All right.
Perfect.
Are you seeing it?
Yep, we can see it. All right, go ahead and. Make
okay. So the
Go full screen. Full screen.
Right, full screen. So this is my SP. I mean, Eric is really big on the POV issue that really gets under his collar.
And women. And Muslim women.
FGM. Female genital mutilation is wicked. It's evil. Now, I want to make it clear that it's obvious that FGM exists for Islam and today exists outside of Islam. It is why I'm a
barbaric.
And Muhammad gave it his approval. Muhammad, the greatest man who ever lived, Allah's favorite prophet, he endorsed this practice. It's definitely a part of Islam. Islam cannot separate itself from GM. He never intended to end it, and never intended it. He structured the way it was done. Abu Dayud 43:499. A woman used to perform circumcision in Medina. The prophet said to her, "Do not cut the source of your food severely, as that is better for a woman and more desirable for a husband." Also, when we check the various schools of Islamic theology, they teach it as well. So it can't just be cultural, as some people say. It is part of the religion.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Yeah, how is that more desirable for a man if the little girl is nipped there? He doesn't even, his private part doesn't even, you know, go in that area. You know, it's asinining. It's stupidity.
It's a war on women.
There you go. Woohoo! That's what I was listening for.
It's a war on women. So think about it. Allah is so great and exalted as they create. Allah is great and he created women that way. Why would you want to modify his perfect creation?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Unless you are really at war with women.
Great point.
Say that last point again, George. I'm getting dogged out by the dog here. Who is running the projector here? Evidently, I'm sucking at this today. Sorry about that, dog.
No, you're not. You're
okay.
Good.
All right. So what was the last thing that you said?
You really don't like women, unless you are against women and women's natural enjoyment of sexual gratification.
And that's exactly what it does, is it denies women that ability. You look at Ariane Hershey Ali.
Oh yes.
That right. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, she says that this was done to her, and
ruined her.
Here's what it says in, again, here's the Sharia. The Sharia says 59. This deals with section E4.3, and this deals with the body is the title of this section. And it says circumcision is obligatory for both men and women. For men, it consists of removing the prepuce from the penis, and for the women, removing the prepuce of the clitoris, not the clitoris itself, as some mistakenly assert. Hanbalis hold that circumcision of women is not obligatory, but sunnah, while Hanafis consider it a mere courtesy to the husband. Now, why would you make this? How could this ever be a courtesy to the husband, period? Why would the mutilation of a woman's genitalia ever be a courtesy to the husband? Why, you know, I don't get that. Why would you take away somebody's physical gratification of intimacy with her husband. Why would you take that away from a human being? As
Allah is green and exalted. He created women perfectly. Why do you have to go and modify them unless you create women?
Right. Yeah, because, you know, the opposite, I can see the argument coming. I haven't seen it in the chat yet, but the argument would be then, well, why do men have to do this? Well, it is a covenantal sign between God and mankind. It's between God and the males, not the God and the females. So it doesn't hold any water.
And the other thing we need to make clear is that there are different types of cotton. Some cotton from Arabia, some sew everything up, leaving only a small area open. There are about four different types of FG.
Yes, it seems like there was a YouTube video playing. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let's see. Aliane Hershey Ali discusses FGM 2 verse. See if that comes in here. Talks about female genital. Okay, here's let's see here. I think that there was a part of her that was read when I was listening to it.
Whose book?
Arian Hershey Ali.
Oh, her book. Oh,
yes, her book, when she was talking about it. Let me see if I can... I don't want to take the chance of getting a copyright strike. Okay, hold on. Okay, hold on just a second. Let me share my screen here. George, I'm going to get going quick on this. Let me do this. Okay, good. Why in the heck is that? Oh, there it is right there. Okay.
She's a champion in this field.
Yeah,
I hope God saved her soon. Yeah. I love to listen to her. She is a champion. Can you turn it up, sir? Okay, mute yourself, Eric. Thanks, sir.
All right, let me try that. You're right.
That's better. Yes, sir.
Mute. All right, I'm trying to get my... What the heck is going on here? Boy, Mike is muted. No, stop. Stop. Hold on. Oh, let's see. Okay, hold on. I'm trying to... All right, let me go back and mute myself. There we go. All right, here we go. Did you hear that last part? Sewing the girl shut.
Oh, man, yeah. This is getting even more gross. You know, geez. You know.
Control. That's what it's about. Notice what it is, how she defines it. It's a control mechanism. How many did she say? Let's back it up. Listen to this.
It's hard for me to hear it.
Listen,
side,
okay. Listen. No, hold on. Five 500,000 women that have either had this done to them or are in situations that evidently it sounds like to where it can be done to them. That is scary.
And that's sewing up the vagina?
No, that's mutilation. That can include that part. Okay, so the bottom line is that she's kind of a crusader for this. So let's just go ahead and stop that. I want to get back to that, but there was a video that she was reading directly from her book, and I wasn't able to find that just off the cuff here, but she was talking about the intense pain that is involved in this, not only at the time of the procedure itself, but the days following when you have that, you have to urinate, and how it just turns into a bloodbath down there in that process. So it's just absolutely, completely disgusting. Where this, again,
have died for this procedure too. It has led to death as well.
Right, death not only from just bleeding to death, but also from the infections that in a lot of these countries. And you know, you talk about, oh, we don't want to have abortions, the back alley abortions. Well, how about outlawing back alley FGMs and applying the same sort of indignation when doing so? Yeah, that's exactly right.
Love my neighbor thing, right? Love my neighbor.
The U.S. should pass a law against somebody's lobby. Congress to pass a federal law outlawing this wicked
stuff. It is a federal law, I believe, in the United States.
They're doing it in hospitals. You know, also, it's being done.
There was a doctor in Dearborn, Michigan. I remember seeing this news article where they were performing this procedure, and they were charged with it. But the defense, listen to the defense of the doctor. The doctor said that, well, this is a religious practice of ours, and you are impeding on my freedom of religion to perform this procedure on little girls. That was the defense.
Under the name of religion. That's not a religion.
Right.
That's a mutilation.
That's disgusting.
Religion has to do with faith. You know, you want to pray to God, you want to pray to your God, that's fine. But that has nothing to do with...
Okay, we got 5 minutes left, guys. 7 minutes.
Okay, let me go. Let me conclude on this one. You know, I have to take us back to the truth.
Amen.
The truth is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
First person to see Jesus after the resurrection was a woman, John 20, verse 15. Look at the case of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus didn't stone her. He said, go and sin no more. Matter of fact, it is said that he wrote the sins of the men. And he says, if any of you are without sin, cast the first stone. So Jesus' concern is not keeping women down, but sin problem in the heart of men and women. Of course, the Bible also elevates women. Islam doesn't believe that a woman can be a prophet, but of course, we have Philip having four daughters who were prophets, and we see that at Acts 21, verse 9. Galatians 3, verse 28 says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus.
Praise God.
And of course, there are cases in the Old Testament, you can see that in Judges chapters 4 and 5, where God raised up female judges. Deborah was one of them.
Deborah.
2 Chronicles 34, verse 22 to 20. This is the true God. This is the true
Amen.
God.
Amen.
The true God elevate women. He doesn't put women down and say that they're half as valuable as a man. And furthermore, in the New Testament, the Bible teaches that a man should love and cherish his wife. This is a beautiful text, I think, in Ephesians 5, 24, for husbands. This means love your wife. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her. What is it saying? It is saying that a man should love his wife. Bible. 1 Corinthians 7. But since there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, not four wives. Each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his master's duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. This is the teaching of the true God.
Yeah, notice how it's not obligatory for women to offer themselves sexually to the man's every whim and desire.
They're married, they're committed to each other, not one more than the other. So I think from all of what we see, all of these things, FGM, pedophilia, men having multiple wives, men having sex slaves, women being deficient in intelligence, I think it's clear that Islam is at war with women. To keep them dependent on men, the ideology was developed by men, for men. By limiting the educational and career opportunities for women, the women are forced to make themselves available to men simply in order to survive. In Islam, the role of women is limited to housekeeping, child rearing, so that the cycle can continue. And finally, these countries are shooting themselves in the foot by discriminating against half of their population simply on the basis of gender.
Yep.
Yeah, and thank you, George. And that the fourth bullet there, the role of women is limited to housekeeping and child rearing so that the cycle continues. And that's exactly right. When you force girls to be married at such young ages, they don't have the opportunity to get as well educated as men. Therefore, they don't have the same type of economic opportunities as men. As they get older, and then they're forced to their only purpose in life, then therefore becomes, you know, how many children can I have? And then they're also put in the other dire strait of, you know, am I this guy's second wife? I'm his third wife? I'm his fourth wife? And if I am, how easily can I be dismissed from this marriage? And it – go ahead.
Yeah, if they don't put out. If they don't put out.
Right. Yeah.
I'll share something very quickly with you guys. I have a female girl that I went to high school with who ended up marrying a Muslim. And it's a long story, but she ended up in the... His father was very rich, and he had many wives. And she ended up... This is a friend that I went to high school with. Ended up in the compound that with the father, where the father had his different wives. And, you know, she was the first person I knew who was exposed to that kind of thing. And I asked her, how was that like? She said, it's disgusting. It's terrible. Why?
Uh-oh, did we lose George or did I go?
Are you hearing me,
Tony? No, I didn't. Okay, George, I didn't hear. You were talking. Okay, I'm sorry. I froze. Okay, you said something about she was in this compound and it was completely disgusting because, and that's where I didn't hear. Can you repeat that for me, please?
Yeah, what she was saying was that there was tension and competition between the different wives because they wanted their children to get ascendancy in the clan.
Right.
So there's all this my children against your children, this wife said that to that child, and it was just chaos inside that compound.
Wow. Destruction of the family all over again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then this Nim hits it on the head right here. Nim says that it's a competition between the wives. The wives are competing with one another. You know, when you talk about something so intimate and so close and so important in somebody's life, in order to create a competition for that, that is just, again, here you have an Allah. Sorry about that. Here you have an Allah that is taking that something that God had ordained to be good and to be perfect and perverting it. And it's just, I mean, you've really done a great job of coming at this from several different angles and citing all kinds of hadiths, Quranic verses. And as a matter of fact, I have this already saved to my hard drive. So, you know, I hope it's, yeah, I hope it's not copyrighted because it's too late for that. Oh, and believe me, we will. Okay, it's past 3:30, and I'm going to have to cut out of here. We got to get down to a little bit further south than here to go to this thing. I'm all excited about this to find out what my grandchild is going to be. Is it going to be a boy or is it going to be a girl? We already have – I got – my oldest is my granddaughter, and then I have two grandsons. And then my daughter, when she remarried, her husband has a boy and a girl, and I count them as grandchildren too. So this would kind of even things out. This would even it would make the score fair. You would have 3-3, but if it's a grandson, you know, grandkids are just God's gift.
Amen. Star quiver, right? I've got five grandsons. I mean, I don't like how it happened, but I love every one of them.
Exactly.
And they're so beautiful.
Yeah, I took mine to church this morning, and I tell you what, they tormented me the entire time we're sitting in the pews. I'm like, can you just shut your mouth for crying? But they're in church, and that's where they need to be. Yes, I know, buddy. I'm coming. All right, hit the road. Close the door. Case in point. Okay, so
he's
already saying, come on, we gotta go. And I'm like, I got it. Yeah. Okay, so we will see you all on Tuesday. I'll be thinking about what the topic is going to be Tuesday. I'm kicking a couple things around, but I want to make it more apologetic this Tuesday because we've been really slamming and harping on Muhammad the last couple weeks, and it's been just like this incessant hammering. So I want to kind of, it's the cross and the crescent discussion group, so I want to switch it over to something more apologetical. Is that even a word? Doesn't matter. I said it anyway, and we will be here. Is it? All right. Well, if it isn't, then I get credit for inventing it if it isn't. All right. We'll see you at 5 o'clock on Let's see you at 5 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, everybody. God bless you, and thank you, George, for putting this all together.
Does DL have anything to say?
Who?
I'd love to hear what he says.
DL? I don't know. Yeah?
Well, I will say that I couldn't hear anything that Brother George was saying. So,
really? Okay, so we're going to have to look at the...
I tried my hardest to read along.
Wow. Okay. What about John? John, could you hear George during the?
Yeah, I hear well, but really, I was reading his presentation, and it's fine with me.
Hmm. Okay. How about people in the chat? Could you hear when George was talking?
What he said, I hear well.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll pull it up, and then if not, well, then I'm going to get George's address, and I'll send him one of these things right here. So next time he talks, we will be able to hear him, and we get on that. All right, guys. We'll see you on Tuesday. God bless you. Okay. Blog Talk Radio crowd, thank you for coming, and we will see you on Tuesday.